Blog Talk Radio.
Seekers of the Truth, this is the 74th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is God's Answer to Luciferian Induced Anger. And yes, this system of the prince of this world, who we know from past messages and from the Word of God, Jesus himself said, Lucifer, Satan, is the prince of this world. We're going to focus on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 33. And you know, anger is one of the seven deadly sins and a foothold used by Lucifer, his minions, and this world system to cause true believers to stumble in sin. You know, the Traveler's Guide to Hell says that anger is ruled by the sign of Mars, and it points out that sins mixed are typically the ones that are the most dangerous. And when they're mixed, they harm other people too. Take anger, for example. Mix it with envy, and you end up with armed robbery. You know, there's a very popular image in religious art that shows the human heart being attacked by these seven deadly sins. And these sins, they're represented by animals. Greed, for example, is the toad. And envy is the snake. And sloth is a snail. And gluttony is a pig. And lust is shown as a goat. Isn't that interesting? And pride is a peacock. And anger or wrath is the lion. Now, the sons of Belial, they learned all of this from their master, Lucifer himself. And that what they learned was that a little bit of sin in the life of any Christian spoils our entire life. It's what caused Lucifer to be cast out of heaven. They know that our Lord only dwells in a humble and a contrite heart, and that rhema revelation ceases when sin comes into the life of any true believer. So they'll try to make us stumble and sin any way they can, and stirring up anger in us is one of their most popular methods. Just look around today in our culture. Watch the cable news. See everything that's going on. And I've even seen it in posts on the internet between Christians, on Christian websites, where believers argue and the anger gets stirred up. These are excellent examples of what happens when we dedicate ourselves to spirit of self rather than the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you'll see them in condemning comments on these websites that begin with lines like, I know, or I will, or I want, rather than the Lord says, or I think the Lord says, and I will be done, Lord. You know, recently I was reading some comments in a thread where people who were teaching on the rapture, whether you believe that or not, began with these Christians who were bashing the people teaching on the rapture with things like, I'll stick to the word of God. There's that, I will. And then another one, another one was saying, I want to say. And really what these people were saying is, I will believe whatever I want to believe. And I will believe the word of God says, whatever the word of God, whatever I feel that the word of God ought to say. And you notice in these sorts of things, you know, these I knows, I wills, I wants, they all start with the word I. And I've noticed that this word I is also in the middle of the following two words, S-I-N and P-R-I-D-E. So I is in the middle of sin and I is in the middle of pride. Jeremiah 17 verses 9 and 10 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The point here is that either we're on the throne in our heart or Jesus is, but both can't be on the throne at the same time. And you know, the truth known by the Luciferians is that if man dedicates himself to self, soon we'll end up denying Jesus. Whereas if we dedicate to Jesus rather than self, we rest in his perfect peace and walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Praise Jesus. So listen to this grave warning in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. And it reads, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Did you get that? He rejected you from being king because you have a rebellious spirit and you're stubborn, and that's witchcraft and iniquity and idolatry, and you're not going to be king because you rejected God's word. He's talking to us. That warning's for us, because in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it reads, and he, that's Jesus, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So the root of all sudden and stubborn anger is satanic. It's the enthronement of our will, idolatry of our ways, and the refusal to rest and trust in the sovereignty of Almighty God. And it's one of the enemy's favorite ways to snare the souls of a true believer and cut us off from fellowship with one another and with God. So beware. You know, sudden anger must be controlled, and stubborn anger, it must be conquered. And in this message, we're going to see how the devil uses anger, one of these seven deadly sins, as a foothold to destroy our fellowship with one another and, most importantly, with our Most High God. So we're going to learn how to control this sudden anger and how to conquer stubborn anger. And then we're going to see that there's another type of anger that Jesus had, yet he sinned not. And this is what's called sanctified godly anger, and that needs to be channeled properly in the lives of all true believers as we wage war against the wrongs of this present age. Remember, the Bible tells us that we're to occupy until our Lord Jesus Christ returns for his faithful bride. Now, did you ever get angry and lose your temper? Proverbs 19:11 and 12 says, The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is the glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as a roaring lion. There's that lion again. But his favor is as a dew upon the grass. This, what this means, what the Lord's saying in this proverb is that a smart person doesn't fall into this sudden anger. You know, sinful anger is like an acid that eats the very vessel. That's us that's containing it. But it also destroys whoever it's poured on. But not all anger is bad. Only unjustified, ungodly anger is bad. Yet a lot of people think, oh, I can't ever get angry. I can't ever get angry. Well, in fact, at least in one place in the Bible, we're commanded to get angry. So this message contains four crucial points. First, to control sudden anger. Secondly, to condemn sinful anger. Thirdly, to conquer stubborn anger. And finally, let's channel sanctified godly anger and wage war against the enemy. So first, let's learn how to control sudden anger. You know, that's the short-fused person who just suddenly goes off for apparently no reason at all. And be careful if that's you. Now, many people with these short fuses, they make excuses like, well, it's my heritage. I'm passionate because of my background. You just don't understand. It's in my blood. I'm Irish or whatever, you know. Or you don't understand my circumstances. My husband, he's just so critical. You know, this type of person is like a hair trigger on a bad shotgun that can go off at any moment, you know. Let's see what the Bible says about this sudden anger. Proverbs 14:17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. You know, this means you're a fool if you're quick to get angry. And by the way, I didn't call you a fool. God did. Proverbs 15:18 reads, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So the proverb here is saying that if you want trouble, just be quick to anger. Then Proverbs 25, verse 8 goes on to say, go forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. So this means, don't be so prone to argue quickly. You know, if you're the type that puts your mouth before your brain, you're going to find out that you're not always able to finish what you've started, you know? Proverbs 29:20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So a quick-tempered person, somebody with his hair triggered anger, doesn't even come up to the level of a fool. Remember, this is God saying this, not me. So being quick to anger is costly. Yet sadly, so many are so quick to anger, and they're even proud of it. They view it like it's some great character trait. Yet this anger may cost them their job, their friends, their children, their wife, even their health. And in fact, they could even end up losing some teeth in one of those situations, you know? But most damaging to all, it's a damage to our Christian testimony. And that's what we have to be careful of. You know, nothing's more damaging to our Christian testimony than this uncontrolled sudden anger, this stuff I was talking about that I see on these internet sites, these Christian sites, where supposed Christians just start tearing each other apart. That's horrible. So we have to learn how to control this anger. The Bible says we're to defer anger. Well, how do we do it? Well, first we have to confess our anger. And many say, well, I'm not angry. But in truth, they're simply repressing rather than confessing this anger. And this leads to all sorts of damage in our very being, you know? You may say you're not angry, but I'm telling you, your stomach keeps the score, as a matter of fact. And think about this. This repressed anger, it's so damaging to our body, our souls, and our spirits. And that's what happens on all levels of our being, body, soul, and spirit, when we repress anger or express it in these explosive manners where we don't handle it properly. So like I said, this is a popular ploy used by the Luciferians to stir up anger in the body of Christ and to cause us to sin and get cut off from fellowship among our brethren and with the Holy Spirit. So don't fall for it. You know, our adrenaline levels, they increase in our bloodstream and the blood pressure goes up and our muscles tense, our hands start to sweat, our heart thumps, our eyes dilate. We're ready for a good fight. You know what I mean? One man said, my life is at the mercy of any rascal who can make me angry. Wow, you know, don't let anyone except the Lord have that level of control over you. I'm telling you, that's Luciferian, and they know how to push our buttons. So every time you let this needless anger stir up in you, you've just nailed another nail into your coffin. So don't repress your anger, confess it. Confess it to the Lord. You know, repressing anger is like lighting a fire in a wastepaper basket and then just hiding it in the closet. No, one of two things are going to happen. Either that little fire you lit in that trash basket is going to smolder and eventually burn out, or it's going to catch the whole house on fire and burn it down. So confess your anger. And then you've got to consider your anger. You know, you need to admit that you've been getting upset, and you have to pray like, Lord, what's going on? What's causing me to do this? So just confess it to the Lord and say, now, Lord, please show me. And I'm telling you what, he'll show you. The Bible says that he is slow to wrath is of great understanding. So we need to analyze what's making us angry. So we don't go half-cocked, you know, go off half-cocked the next time. And then after we confess it and after we consider it, then we have to learn to control it. Now, are you thinking, well, I just can't control it? Yes, you can. You ever hear that couple arguing next door? Maybe you live in an apartment, and you can just hear them having one of those good married couple arguments, you know? And I'm telling you, if you're married and you say you never argue, then you're either lying or you aren't married. But the point is, the phone rings, and then you hear the wife stop mid-sentence in the middle of a good one, you know? And then she answers the phone in the sweetest voice. Oh, hi there, or hello. You know, I'm telling you, this happens all the time. And it's probably even happened in your house. So what's controlling one's anger all about? Not being able to do it? Well, we do it all the time. You know, we do it when we pick the phone up in the middle of an argument with our spouse. The point is we can control it, and we better learn how, and then we better choose to do it if we want to walk in fellowship with the brethren and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it till afterwards. So when you find that first flash of anger, the Bible says over and over again to control it. And then you'll have a chance to confess it, consider it, and ultimately contain it. So sudden anger must be controlled. And then sinful anger must be condemned. You know, when you're slow to anger, when it's controlled, it gives you time to determine whether it's righteous anger or sinful anger. And we do need to know the difference, because sinful anger, we have to learn how to conquer, but righteous anger, we need to know how to channel, and more on that a little bit later. So if it's sinful anger, it has to be condemned. It has to be dealt with harshly. It has to be repudiated, and then it has to be repented of. So don't treat this as a weakness in your character. It's not a weakness, it's a wickedness. And remember, one thing that God will not accept for sin is an alibi. So what exactly is this sinful anger? Well, sinful anger is without a cause. That's right. Jesus said, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of hellfire, Matthew 5:22. That's sinful anger. That's what the sons of Belial want to stir up in us every night on the cable news, you know. They stir it up in those cable news shows where there's two sides, the reds and the blues. They're fighting, you know. You know, the times when someone has done that anger, that stirring up in the anger, and what it's done inside of us, and a lot of times, you know, we'll try to blame it on somebody else, but really, maybe what's doing it is something in our own being, some frustration or lack of peace with God. That's really what's causing us to get angry. But the Luciferians, they know how to play on these things and to get this to happen. And by the way, I just want to stress this with you. Nobody can control your emotions. You control those from within using your willpower, you know? And the better you do that, the better sign that you're more like Jesus and you're walking like Jesus. And then, once you start to understand this, then you can realize that sinful anger is centered on a person, you know? So when you get angry at a person rather than what you've done, that's sinful anger. It wants revenge, and it burns on the inside of us. And we're not to store it up. And we're not to stir it up either with a constant thought, you know what I mean? So sinful anger is stored up, and it's even cherished. You know, some people love their anger. They cling to it like a favorite possession. Do you ever see somebody like that? You know, someone with sinful anger has an unforgiving spirit that absolutely refuses to forgive. And the Bible teaches that we must deal with sinful anger just as we deal with any other sin. It must be condemned, and then it must be repented of. So this sudden anger, it must be controlled, condemned, and then this stubborn anger, it must be conquered. Praise Jesus. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So imagine what a spiritual victory it would be in our lives when we learn to possess this this spiritual quality that allows us to pass over a hurt or a transgression leveled at us, you know? That means to forgive and get over it. You know, some people have held on to transgressions against them for a lifetime, and it robs them of life and a life more abundant. You know, Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he who takes a city." So we're able to rule our spirits. The word of the Lord says it there. And when we do, we're mighty. We're to be mighty. And God's given us that ability to overcome this stubborn anger. Isn't that exciting? So how do we conquer it? Well, Paul tells us how. God used Paul to write Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So there's six steps there. God's laid them right out for us. One, let all bitterness. Two, and wrath. Three, and anger. Four, and clamor. Five, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Step number six. So this is how the devil works to get you. You know, the Luciferian elite uses this six-step process. Six, the sign of the sun. Six is the sign of man, you know. He uses these six steps to get us to be in sin, separated from fellowship with the brethren and fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. So like I've been saying, the sons of Belial, they know this and they know it very well, and they use it every day in this politically charged climate of postmodern America, you know, the Reds versus the Blues, gun control, the whole big debate right now on homosexuals in the Boy Scouts, the budget debate, you know, the Middle East crisis. I can go on and on and on. What it does is it stirs you up. It stirs you up. And then it draws you into this six-step process to sin through anger. You know, when you open the door to the devil by allowing him in, you know, you get caught up in clamor. And when you get caught up in this clamor, this stuff that's going on in the news, and you let the sun go down on your wrath, you allow it to grow into what becomes the stubborn anger. You know, you got your position on gun control. You got your position on this. You got your position on that. Well, who's on the throne in your heart when all that happens? Well, here's how it happens, you know. I'm just going to use an example with a married couple again. You know, the couple goes off to work angry, or they go to bed angry with that anger in their hearts. And what they're doing is they're opening the door to the devil. They're saying, "Come on in, devil. Come on in. I'm inviting you in." They've given him a place to wage war against their souls. They've given him a beachhead, so to speak. You know, I'm telling you, that's what starts stubborn anger, and the devil loves it because he's using your soul as a campground and a base of operations to wage war against your very being. And here's how it works: the devil uses these six steps. First, he starts with bitterness. That's resentment. The Bible calls this a root of bitterness in Hebrews 12, verse 15. Do you ever do any gardening, you know? Unless you pull the root out, the weed comes back, you know? It gets in there. You feel hurt, you know? You've been wronged, and you tell yourself you deserve justice. And then that becomes wrath, you know? If you don't pull it out of your heart, that bitterness out of your heart, it becomes wrath. And that's from a Greek word that means hot. You know, like being hot and bothered. It's that slow burn deep inside. It just starts to smolder all morning, and you think about it. And it robs you of your joy, your creativity, you know, your peace. It's literally gone, and you've become a prisoner in your mind. That's the Luciferian system of working on you. You know, you feel that slow burn. It's smoldering deep down inside of your very being. I'm telling you, it's ugly and it's awful. You know that feeling, don't you? And then that feeling, that wrath, it morphs into anger. You know, so the wrath's inside, smoldering. And then the anger, it erupts on the outside. So that smoldering rag in the attic of your mind bursts into flames and you explode. It's an outward expression. And it may be some sort of destructive behavior, you know? And then it changes into clamor, you know? That's when you start to get real vocal, and it may involve shedding tears and shouting. And then that loud voice turns into evil speaking, you know, step number five. And that's when you get loud and you start saying evil things you know aren't true, but they're hurtful. You know, like, "I hate you, and you're a blankety blank," even when you know those things aren't true. And then we say things we know aren't true, but who cares? Because now we're on a roll, you know? And then the devil, he's sitting on your shoulder, and he says, and don't forget this and remember that. You know what I'm talking about? And you don't know, you know they're not true, and you don't even really mean them, but you start to verbalize them, and there's power in those words. There's power to life and death, you know? So we're to guard our words because our words convict us and our words justify us. And then that's because that bitterness, it turned into a burning, and that burning into an anger, and that anger into a clamor, and that clamor into this evil speaking. And then if you don't get that under control, the devil, he's sitting there, he's loving it, he's eating it up, and it results in malice. And that's when you want to hurt somebody, and maybe even yourself, you know, with a fist or even more harsh words or maybe money, or you turn to some sort of self-destructive behavior. And you try to hurt someone through it that truly loves you. But sadly, in the end, all you're really doing is hurting yourself, you know? All the while, like I said, the devil's sitting there and he's grinning. Remember, you invited him in. You said, come on in, devil. Wreck my home. Wreck my life. Wreck my health. Destroy my creativity. Just take the whole thing. You're the one who did it. Why? Because you gave him a place in your soul. You invited him in because you let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, that smoldering anger, and it began to take its toll. That's terrible, isn't it? It's so awful, isn't it? It's hideous. It's absolutely hideous, isn't it? It sure is. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, beware of the enemy, for he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come so that you might have life and have it more fully. You know, there's not one of us who hasn't been here at one time or another in our life, and that is exactly the way it works. So we don't need some psychologist to tell us the truth. God's word tells us it right here. That's how we work. That's how we function, you know? And he tells us exactly what the devil does, which Jesus said is to harm us, to hurt us, to ruin us, to wreck us, to destroy our very testimony as Christians. So, you know, whenever you're filled with, whatever you're filled with, I mean, that's what spills out when you're jostled. So what are you filled with? A vile, bitter, damaging acid of anger, or the Holy Spirit? So far now, in this message, you know, we've looked at this sudden anger, you know, and we have to learn to control it so we have a chance to think it through. And then we've seen that this sinful anger is to be condemned, and then this stubborn anger, it has to be conquered. So how are we going to conquer it? Well, first we have to recognize it. Remember, we've got to trace it back to the source, and we have to ask ourselves, why am I such an angry person? And then we've got to go back to this root of bitterness and pull it out. Remember, you can't just pick the tops off of a weed in the garden. You have to root it out, or they'll keep coming back, and you have to do that. So we got to get down to the root of the matter and weed it out. So first of all, we've got to recognize it, then we've got to admit it and confess it, and then secondly, we've got to repent of it. You know, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. So are you willing to put it away? I'm telling you, if you're not willing to put it away, just forget this whole message. Just shut it off. Because God's not going to do it for you. You can whine and cry all you want, but until you put it away, nothing in your life will change. You know, that Greek word repentance is metanoia, and it means a change of mind. It means that you're going to just one day get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. I don't want it anymore, so I choose against it. The point is, nobody's going to choose against it for you. Too much to do it. So you've got to recognize it, and you've got to repent of it, and then you've got to go and repudiate the devil. Yes, you've got to go to the devil and just kick him out. You got to realize you have authority to do that, and you have to remember that you gave him the place in your soul to begin with, and you've got to go to him, and you've got to say, devil, I'm taking it back. You can't have it anymore. You're no longer going to have a place in my life, in my home, or in my family. Just stand there and say, go, in the name of Jesus. Devil, go. I gave you a place in my heart, but now I'm taking it back, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed this place. So out, go out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say that and speak it boldly to the heavens. You know, the Bible says resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee from you. James 4:7, praise Jesus. So just kick him out. Put him out in the name and blood of Jesus. And when you do, then rely on the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. That's a powerful scripture. And that means that the Holy Spirit of God is there, and he's going to give you the power to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:33. It's so beautiful how Paul wove those scriptures together there. So we need to get Ephesians 4 and the book of Proverbs, and we need to sit down with them, and we need to go line upon line, and we need to learn how to deal with this thing called stubborn anger. You know, some of us, including myself, have been angry for so long. You know, maybe it's your spouse that hurt you a long time ago, and you're nursing this fever, feeding a grudge. In my case, it was just all the stuff that happened with me and my business and this world, and I'm seeing this government lying to us, and I was angry. But it's just not worth it. Quit it. Get rid of it. You know? So sudden anger must be controlled. Sinful anger must be condemned. Stubborn anger must be conquered. And then finally, going to wrap this message up with sanctified anger is to be channeled. Did you know there is, in fact, a sanctified anger? Look at that story over in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You know, it's where Jesus went into the synagogue and the man had the withered hand, you know, and it was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees were all there, and they were watching him, waiting to accuse him, because they knew this man, this very peculiar man, Jesus, could do miracles. And they were waiting for him to heal this man's withered hand and then accuse him. And that's exactly what happened. And so then Jesus got angry with them, you know? He looked at them and was filled with anger and grieved for the hardness of their hearts, you know? So there was anger in Jesus that day, but he sinned not. And he looked on them with anger, and he was moved with anger. But this was a righteous anger. This was different than all the anger we had just covered. So the point is, we can be angry and sin not, because we see Jesus was angry and yet without sin. And he said, I'm the way. So the point is, we can be good and mad at times. You know, there are certain things that we should be angry about. In fact, if some things in this world don't move us to anger, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with us. So let's just look at what angered Jesus. What was this attitude the Pharisees had towards that miracle he performed on the poor paralyzed man with the withered hand? You know, there was this man here with this deep need, yet the Pharisees, they were filled with this selfish pride and arrogance, and they were so self-seeking. So their problem wasn't with Jesus and his theology. This was personal. Just like those people back on the internet forums arguing over the rapture, you know. What Jesus was doing here, to use the vernacular, was he was eating their lunch, you know. These Pharisees were the ones that everyone looked up to. And then here comes Jesus, and he just upstages them. And the crowds, they stood around and they marveled. So these Pharisees were rotten with envy. You know, they were filled with this selfish pride. They were self-seeking. They didn't care about the needs of others. And this selfishness and this pride and this self-seeking, it hurt others. Just think about it. What motivates a drug dealer or a pornographer or a slumlord? It's the same thing as the Pharisees, pride and self-seeking. They just don't care about other people. They don't care how other people hurt and suffer at their expense. You know, Martin Luther, from the Protestant Reformation, he said, when I'm angry, I pray better and I preach better. And this small preacher, guy named Cheney, he was about 120 pounds, and he used to say, when I get mad, I weigh a ton. You know, doesn't killing unborn babies get you angry? The point I'm trying to make is that certain things ought to stir you up in a godly way, like they did Jesus. You know, notice how Jesus never got angry at somebody that harmed him, though. You know, he never retaliated. Even when they nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he never got angry when somebody hurt him. He was moved with this anger, this righteous indignation. We saw other people being misused and abused. That's the point here. So a righteous anger is aimed at the injustice of others upon the poor and the innocent. That's the point here. So we're to get angry at the sin and not the sinner. And don't say, oh, that's just some fancy talk, and you can't do that. You can't separate it. Yes, you can. And you know how I know? Because I get angry at myself all the time, yet I still love myself in a godly way, you know? And The reason you love yourself is the reason you get angry at yourself. Stop for a minute and think about it. It was that same love that we possessed because we're in fellowship with the Lord that motivated Jesus all the time. You know, sometimes anger is love's clearest expression. But we need to be real careful here, okay? Because righteous anger, godly anger, isn't getting even with somebody. It's not trying to harm somebody. It's a righteous indignation that does not sin. So godly anger comes at the right time, it's expressed in the right way, and it's directed at the right things. So that's what I mean when I say righteous anger has to be channeled. So I'm just praying that we just don't talk about all the wrongs in this world anymore, but we get angry about these injustices when we see them, and we do something about it. You know, because I truly believe that there are enough godly people out there in this country that if we were all to get angry at the right thing in the right way, we could kick those bums out of Washington and the banks and the media, and we could take this country back. But be careful here. I'm not trying to stir you up to act ugly. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to stir you up to act Christian in a righteous and godly way. You know, don't just listen to this message and say, we're standing there behind you, bro, Ken, go do something. You know, when you have a country where people get righteously indignant, that's worth more than all the laws on the books. You know what I mean? So get stirred up about something that's happening and get angry at the right time for the right reason against the right thing, whatever it is in your sphere of influence, and do it in the right way. And I'm telling you, if we all did that, we can make this country a better place as we occupy until Jesus soon returns for his bride. You know? So remember, this sudden anger, it has to be controlled. This sinful anger, it has to be condemned. That stubborn anger, it must be conquered. And that sanctified anger must be channeled. And the Holy Spirit, he's going to help us, you know, when we let the love of God stir us up, you know, and just take a stand for those that are being harmed, you know, and those who are being hurt. You know, Lord, I come before you, you know, and I'm just praying we put down our defenses and lay down our pride and we run to you and surrender all. Lord, I pray more of you and less of me. I love you all. Now go out and fight the good battle. Remember, the war's won already. I love you.
My life.
I love y'all, and I pray you let the Holy Spirit have his way with you today.